name of Jesus. Praise God. Ushers, you go ahead and receive the offering. Hallelujah. This morning, we begin talking about having a life of breakthrough. Amen. That things just don't come naturally. We have to fight the good fight of faith. That's what Paul said, to fight the good fight of faith. And basically, folks, it's really in our attitude whether it's a good fight or a bad fight. Sometimes we got to get our attitude adjusted, right? We can do, oh, poor me, you know, what's the devil doing beating me up? And am I ever going to get a breakthrough? That church down there, I don't know if they're going to teach me how to get a breakthrough or not, and so on and so forth. But we have to be unyielding, unflinching, and unrelenting in obtaining the promises of God, because Jesus purchased everything that we will ever need on the cross 2,000 years ago. And the supply is by the Holy Spirit. Did we just sing that? Welcome, Holy Spirit, in this place. He's the one that brings the supply. He is the movement of God in the earth today. This is a year of the local church, and we're going to see some mighty things, healing, anointing coming back into the churches. We're going to see some mighty things, signs, wonders, and miracles. And maybe you're not of that persuasion, but just get ready. Just get ready. Hallelujah. There are a lot of people that wasn't of that persuasion in the early 1900s with Azusa Street. But God shook up things. 1970s, the charismatic movement, God shook up some things. Glory to God. When Episcopalians and Catholics and all across the board begin to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The power of God. Those, to me, I don't want to say they were good old days, but they were exceptional days. They were good. And sometimes you want to get hungry for another bout of that. But what's being prophesied right now is going to be something more greater than all of the past moves of God put together in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I just can't wait. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we talked about this morning some strategies of the enemy. Number one is deception, thinking that we know the Word of God, but we're not practicing the Word of God. We're praise the Lord. James, okay, said that we deceive ourselves. And that's what he said. We think we have the Word of God, but our works does not prove it. Our faith is dead. He said, you have dead works. He said, you show me, you talk about your faith, and I'll show you my faith by my works. That's what Brother James said. And so we need to understand that we have to be dogmatic about what we believe and get back into the Word of God and read it like it was the first time, instead of hashing over it. Well, I know this part. I know this part. Yeah, Jesus cast the devil out of that guy. And we just flippantly, in other words, we begin to have what Jesus said a group of people had. They had the form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. Amen. They don't really believe the Word. They don't have it inside. They have head knowledge of it, but they don't have the revelation of the Word inside that will change. You can be changed from the inside out. Amen. And so that's what we have to get back to, understanding that Jesus said, you shall know the truth. In fact, we read the scripture this morning in John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Abiding, staying steadfast every day in the word of God. Now then he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We want just a magical touch from heaven. God's not into magic. God works through his word. He watches over his word. He hastens his word to perform it in our lives. So as he sees us hungry for the word of God, remember Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. What is the kingdom? His word, his will, his way. Amen. And so we're hungry for the things of God. He says, if you're hungry, you that hungry and thirst, our hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Number two, the enemy's job is to distract you in your mind, to move you out of focus, to get you away from what you're believing God for, from your victory. Oh, he'll slam this thing up against you. He'll do this. But remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Glory to God. So we have to stand firm with the whole armor of God on. And remember, it's not God that's going to baby us. Now, he'll baby us when we're just born again. Praise God. He'll put up with a lot. But there comes a time where he says, hey, it's time for you to put on the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. So we've got to do that on a very consistent basis. See, our focus, amen, when it's moved away from our victory, we get off course. And how many of you have noticed in the past, especially 2020, we've gotten off course, haven't we? Yeah, we've gotten off course. We all thought, man, this is a decade of the 20s. We're going to have 2020 vision and just some great things are going to happen. And then COVID-19 hits and churches were closed down. Seems like God was suppressed in many parts of our nation. And we were shut down for, 2 or 3 months. I don't know how long we were. We had to do online. But listen, God's church, he said, and really this is the year of the local church. And he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You are the church. I am the church. Glory to God. And we are not the ones to be messed with. And as long as we give him that idea that he can mess with us all the time, just slap us up with one thing and then another, and then we just keep complaining, God, where are you? He's going to read our mail. But if we stand firm on the word of God, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. So, we've got to seize our victory. We've got to seize the promises of God by our faith. Glory to God. Faith. Amen. That's what we deal with on mostly on Sunday nights is faith. And let's really read the scripture here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. It says, and from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault. But the violent men seize it by force. They seize it by force. They take the promises of God by force as a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom. It is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Hallelujah. See, violence is an intensity of motion, an attack or an assault. Glory to God. And as we are consistent in this, things are rearranged. We sang a song this morning about, you know, God is able. God is big. Hey, man, he can do anything. And listen, we have to believe that. We serve an almighty God. Not a wimpy God, but an almighty God. He is the way maker. Hallelujah. He can make a way where there is no other way in your life. Hallelujah. We had a call today that somebody that... I haven't really talked to Judy about it, but somebody was on the way to church. They hadn't been to church for a while, and they were in an accident. Another car hit them. That devil, he does not play fair. He does not play. That needs to upset us so much. I want to say we need to release hell. We need to release heaven. Glory to God. Praise God. Over the forces of hell. Amen. The Bible says, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Glory to God. So, what we have to do, we must continue to learn, to confess, to meditate, and act upon the Word of God. Our victory is gained when the Word becomes our lifestyle. Consistency is the key to breakthrough in every area of our life. Amen. I want us to look at a persistent widow here. Let's look at Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 5, the Amplified Bible. And let's look at this. This is in here for a purpose. Amen. And no way are we to compare God with the unjust judge here. Because our God, our Heavenly Father, loves us. Amen. Much more than this unjust judge loved anybody. But let's look at the attitude of faith that this woman had. It says, also Jesus told them in a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray not to turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. That's what Jesus is talking to his disciples about. Amen. Don't turn coward, don't faint, don't lose heart, and don't give up. And he said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither reverenced and feared God, nor respected or considered man. And there was a widow in the city who kept coming to him and saying, "Protect and defend and give me justice against my adversary." And for a time he would not. But later he said to himself, "Though I have neither reverence or fear for God, nor respect or consideration for man, yet because this widow continues to bother me." Amen. Hallelujah. "I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance." Amen. "And wear me out by her continual coming, or at the last she come and rail on me, or assault me, or strangle me." Whew! That was one woman. I wouldn't want to mess with her. Hallelujah. Scared the heck out of that judge. He said, "I don't fear God. This woman is dangerous, man. If I don't give her what she wants, she might just come and strangle me." Now, listen, let's not compare again that unjust judge to our Heavenly Father. But what Jesus was saying, you know, because you can understand in the beginning, he's telling his disciples, don't turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. He's saying, stick the course, stay with the course. What has God said to you? Fight the warfare with the prophecies that have gone on before. In other words, fight with the good fight of faith with the Word of God. Not your emotions, not your feeling. Well, maybe this will happen, maybe that will happen. No, if God said it, He will do it. Amen. The Bible says there's no shadow of turning with God. Hallelujah. He doesn't change His mind. He doesn't have a good day one day and a bad day on the next. He's the same. And He doesn't take naps. How many of you love naps? I like naps. Amen. But He doesn't take naps. The Bible says He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's there with you all the time. And when you think about all of the access of heaven that you and I have because we are the believing ones, we talk about our Heavenly Father, and we talk about Jesus going to the cross, and He's under the right hand of God, and then we talk about the Holy Spirit. Listen, we have the heart, and we don't even talk about the angels much. But listen, we have angels that is guarding us, that is protecting us. And we, praise God, they have been sent, the book of Hebrews, they've been sent to minister to those of us who are heirs of salvation. Every one of you have angels surrounding you. And you know what? We need to begin to use them instead of saying, "Well, I don't know. I don't see my angel, you know." I'm not talking about little Cupid with an arrow. We're talking about mighty. Praise God. When you were born, you had a guardian angel, which never leaves your side. And when you depart this earth, your guardian angel takes you into the presence of God. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. And then he becomes your friend. Wouldn't you like to know the name of your guardian angel? Amen. Some people just gave up listening and gave him a name. Charlie. Hi, Carl. Hey, Charlie, come on over here. Give him a nickname. Give your, you know, praise God. They might get tired of you calling him Charlie or something. I'll tell you who they are. I know Brother Kenneth Copeland, he prayed and God showed him his angel, and he said, "He looked like Mr. Clean. Bald head, you know what Mr. Clean looks like." I said, "That's cool." So I don't know what our angels look like. Amen. But you have them. Not just one, but they've been sent to minister to you and I who are heirs of salvation. And listen, we don't dispatch them enough. The Bible says they hearken to the voice of the Word of God. The more we fill ourselves with the Word and speak God's Word, they move out on the scene. They will attack poverty in your life. They will attack sickness and disease. They will attack things that are coming against you. But see, you just can't just be hanging out there and not thinking about God and thinking about, you know, abiding in His Word and hoping things are going to happen. It does. Jesus said again, don't turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. Praise the Lord. Her persistence, this woman's persistence eventually won out. Look at what Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says. Let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time, at the determined time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The Amplified Bible says, let us not lose heart, grow weary, faint, in acting nobly and doing right, for in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. See, that's what we have to do. We cannot relax our courage. We've got to press in to the things of God. Press, you know, every few years that word comes around again, pressing in to the things of God. Hallelujah. So refuse to be distracted. Refuse to give up, no matter what you're going through. I want us to read a story in the Old Testament, which I love, in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Amen. Let me get a drink because I'm drying out up here. Makes you want to drink, doesn't it? Amen. When you're fasting, we're in the second week of fasting, you tend to have those dry spells. Amen. So you need to drink water. Amen. Okay, this is a story of David at Ziklag. How many of you remember that story? Let's look at this in chapter 30, verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag, and on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. And they did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city and there it was burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Wasn't a good day. Was not a good day in David's life. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now listen, the wives, their children, their animals, everything had been taken by the Amalekites. And down in verse 6, it says, David was greatly distressed. How many of you understand that he could be greatly distressed? Not did he only lose his own stuff, his own family, but it says, for the people spoke of stoning him. David's own men turned on him. Think about that. What it must have did. It says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But, I like that word, but. God put it in the Bible for a purpose, for a reason. David was a man after God's own heart. And when seemingly everything was lost, there was absolutely no hope in his own mighty men of valor was about to stone him and turned on him. It says here, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. What does that mean? David reached in on the deposit of the word that was on the inside of him. See, David wasn't just a casual worshiper of God. He was a man after God's own heart. He worshiped God. He wrote the Psalms. He wrote the 23rd Psalms. Hallelujah. And I know that as he stood there and in disbelief and all of the pressures, all of the things, it did not look good. It looked like impossible. Remember, God is a way maker. When everything looked impossible, David reached on the inside where that word was. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Glory to God. Oh, amen. I believe David had a praise service going on. Glory to God. And it says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. So once you do that, once you strengthen, you know what to do. You get your mental faculties back. You're not all blank anymore. What? Oh, God, you know? What did he do next? He began to seek God. Verse 8 says, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him and said this, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Glory to God. Amen. Whew. We need to be the pursuing force. Hallelujah. Instead of the enemy pursuing us all the time, we need to turn tail and chase him out of our houses, out of our families, out of our homes, glory to God, out of our towns, out of our country, when the church begins to rise up and be the church. We'll see some mighty things begin to happen. And you know, God was ready. He was ready for that answer. But do you think David would have got that answer from God if he would have just, I'm gonna die today. These men have these big old stones and they're getting ready to stone me. Oh God, what did I do wrong? Maybe I didn't pray enough. Come on now. Maybe I didn't do this right. Maybe I didn't do that right. No, David caught himself and he began to strengthen himself in the Lord. He reached down deep. And from his innermost being, oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I could see David in the book of Acts, couldn't you? Could you see him up in the upper room? He would have put Peter to shame. He would be leading the whole bunch out in the streets of Jerusalem if King David would have been there in the upper room with 120. Amen. So he was able to hear from God. Pursue, he shall... Maybe, does God ever put a maybe in there? No. You will surely overtake them and without fail recover all. How many of you are ready to recover all that the enemy has stolen from you? I mean, we got to be mad. Come on, some of you know how to get mad. You know how to get angry. Hallelujah. Some of you do it with your spouses every once in a while. Just turn it on the devil. Just turn it on the devil. I don't care what you tried to steal from me, my health, my children, my money, my marriage. No more, devil. And I'm going to tell you something else. I have the word of God working in me. Hallelujah. There's a song that we used to say, the word of God is working in me. Something like that. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, the word of God is working mightily in me. I got it. Linda's helping me out with her mask. I can't remember what she's singing. The word is working mightily. Linda, come on, let's sing that. Yeah, come on, let's sing that song. You want to sing that song? Come on, Pastor Lori. Come on, let's sing that song. Let's make that a confession. Praise God. Now, in verse 18, it says, so David recovered all that the Amalekite had carried away. And David rescued his wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, neither small or great, sons and daughters, spoil, or anything which they had taken from them. For David recovered all. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say this with me. I'm getting everything back. Everything back. But the enemy is stolen from me. Say, devil, you're a thief. Jesus said you steal, you kill, and destroy. Now, devil, put it back in the name of Jesus. How does that work? The word is working mightily in me. I don't know what key that's in, but let's sing it. Amen. Can't go wrong with C, can you? C, C, C. I like see the do re mi fa sol la te do. We're having a practice here. The word in me. That's low. The word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, the word is working mightily in me. Come on. The word is working mightily in me. The word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, the word is working mightily. See, you can get that singing and sing it all day. The word is working mightily in me. The word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, the word is working mightily in me. Hallelujah. It's working. Whether you see it working or not, it's working. Strengthen yourself in God. Don't listen to all of the junk out there. Tune in to the Word. Focus on the Word. The enemy starts bringing care to you. The Bible says, cast all your care on me, for I care for you. I want you to stand with me tonight.